Hey, this is Pat Ricard, aka Project Pat, and you're listening to the Baltimore Beatdown Podcast, the best Ravens podcast on the planet.
That's pretty incredible. In fact, it's LaMarvelous.
Thank you, guys.
All right, welcome on back to another edition of the Baltimore Beatdown Podcast. It is Monday, September 29th, 2020. My name is Jake Luke. Spencer could not make it tonight, and I'm joined by a good friend of mine. It's Kyle Phoenix Barber here to discuss not the most fun Ravens game we've seen in recent memory, let's be honest.
Yeah, far from the funnest or most enjoyable game we've seen. This is a very apt title on the YouTube live stream, Pain.
That's all I got. Like, I mean, I was sitting there and pulled the curtain back. I have to write that out and like write the description out and everything before. And, you know, I wrote what I was feeling, man. And it's unfortunate. And I think I'm trying to be relatively rational as far as this loss goes. I said before the game, I don't think the result was all that important. I still think that to a certain degree. And I still think the Ravens have this is not the end of the storybook on the 2020 Baltimore Ravens. Pretty obvious, but some people are acting like it isn't. But, you know, in as much as I do think that that's the case, this is still, you know, it's kind of a tough one, especially the way that it played out. It was tough. Tough game.
Completely agree. Just the overreactions are heinous, of course, but I think the big factor is this is the hump. This is the team that the Ravens haven't figured out. Lamar's like nearly perfect against everybody else in the league. I saw a stat that was like 21-1, and he's 0-3 against the Chiefs, and they can't seem to figure them out. They panic. They just abandon all hope as soon as that kickoff begins. It's a rough one.
Are we being a little cocky or self-important as a fan base to say, oh, we can't figure it out against the Chiefs, it's our problem, when the league at large has shown an inability to do so as well? Is it Ravens fans being a little too, I don't want to say up their own ass, but maybe caught up in their own storylines a little bit? Because it feels like the Chiefs are just watching this team, watching them carve up this defense, which I was making the point on Twitter. This is a badass motherfucking defense. These guys can go up against anyone, and they did at times tonight. But there were other times where they were just getting completely carved up. This offense, from the talent to the coaching to the scheme to especially the quarterback, is one of the most perfect offenses I've ever seen. And it feels a little cocky to say our season is over X, Y, and Z because we couldn't hang in there against these guys. It just feels like these guys are on another level entirely.
I always like your analysis on covering the fan base and the response that they have, be it positive or negative, to wins, losses, and what so have you. I really enjoy that. And I think you're very right. And something that I haven't considered is anytime with the Chiefs, like you said, they can't beat the Chiefs. It's the wheels have fallen off. This team can't do it. Shut it down for the rest of the year. And like you said, what Patrick Mahomes is doing on the field is so annoying because he's brilliant. He's masterful. He's so far ahead of what we've witnessed in football through 100 years. It's maddening. And Lamar Jackson in his own right is one of a kind. And Mahomes is better than him. It's fucking insane. And the team that Andy Reid and the Kansas City Chiefs have built around Mahomes in this regard is unheard of. The offense that they have brought about themselves is bewildering. That's one of my favorite words. And you just get starstruck. And you're completely right to say, oh, we can't figure it out. The Ravens can't figure it out. Why are they incapable of doing this? It's the NFL is having a tough time doing this. The Texans were up on them in the playoffs, what, 24-0? They came back and beat them. They were down to the 49ers. You know what? I didn't watch the Super Bowl until the last 2 minutes, literally on purpose, because I knew the Chiefs were coming back in that game. I saw the score. I checked it on my phone, hung out with my girlfriend that day. We watched some shows.
Sick brag about having a girlfriend, by the way.
She's like, and she's like, hey, you sure you don't want to go to the Super Bowl? I was like, no, because the Chiefs are going to come back. It's the last 2 minutes. There's no doubt in my mind. What do they fucking do? They did it, and they're doing it every game. Sometimes they don't have to come back. Sometimes they just stomp you from the beginning, like we witness now. But most of the times, they do end up coming back. You're so right that it's a mentality of fans and just the coverage around the media saying, oh, the Ravens can't figure them out. It's the entire NFL.
Yeah, and I think it makes sense that it got pushed to that degree, right? Because the Ravens are, I think, still the second best team in not only the AFC, in the league. I still think that they're right up there, but this Chiefs team, like, how do you figure them out? What do you do? Like, I was thinking before the second half, and I think I tweeted something about this, like, what do you do? Like, are they just going to, they're just going to win every game? They're just going to roll 15 years forward with Mahomes here and win every Super Bowl? Like, how do they ever lose games? Like, they lost, what, however many games last year? Not many. And it felt like fluky at the time. They go into the playoffs, roll through the playoffs. Doesn't really matter. I mean, you had a couple big, you know, big name teams lose. The Ravens, one of them notably, but they still managed to roll their way through. Like you mentioned, they won the Super Bowl. I don't know, man. It just feels like they're just going to win every Super Bowl for the next 10, 15 years. That feels a little defeatist to say. I'm not typically a defeatist person. And ultimately, I think things are going to work out in the end. But right now, it just feels like, this feels like the Golden State Warriors circa like 2017. Like, it just feels like abandon all hope, ye who enter this league, because this team is going to be dominating for a long fucking time.
That's the second time we've quoted the abandon all hope, by the way. But,
well, listen, I think you kind of incepted me into that. And also, by the way, wanted to give you a shout out for having a girlfriend. That's a sick brag. Continue.
She is wonderful. She
shouts
she
to Allie.
Horrible coming in. Shout out to Allie. Shout out to ARW, you know, but yeah, it most certainly feels like the Golden State Warriors buzzsaw. I mean, this offense is so insane. And it's unfortunate Spencer isn't here, because he'd be able to break down what you can best do.
We'll get that going in the middle of the week. We got an episode scheduled, I think, for Wednesday night. So he'll be doing some film breakdown of that stuff. He's just got a very, very long day tomorrow, and he had a long day today. Sure. So we decided give him a break tonight.
Completely understand. But what I can devolve in this is, you have to have a four-man rush capable of getting to Patrick Mahomes. You have to be capable of sending only four and getting to him, not pressuring him. No, you have to take him down. You have to hit him. You have to force him to get nervous. You have to force him to sprint 12 yards back after snapping the ball like Lamar Jackson did on third down. You have to force that. And if you can't, you're done for. You're toast. Because you certainly can't go one-on-one with Tyreek Hill. You can't go one-on-one. You can't just slap Jimmy Smith on Travis Kelce and say, you got this. For two reasons. One, in prime Jimmy Smith probably could have done it, but this isn't prime Jimmy Smith anymore. I'm one of the biggest Jimmy stands, I think, of the Ravens fan base. And still, I knew that wasn't going to work out. Nobody really believed in it. I think there was a bunch of hope, like, maybe he can do it, but it just wasn't going to work. And more importantly, you don't have the talent to just defend them for 60 straight minutes. You got to put up points. You got to get ahead of them at some point. And you most certainly can't do that by failing to throw the ball longer than 2 yards, abandoning a run game, and then wondering why things aren't going well when you don't have time of possession and your defense is gassed.
And not for nothing, I don't want to sit here and sound like Mr. Expert, because guess what? Dickhead here picked the Ravens to win this game. I picked them to win it.
I fucking did it too.
I picked them to win it 38-37, and it's interesting because the last couple times, I think I prided myself on saying, like, look, they're not ready to take the Chiefs down. They're not ready. X, Y, and Z. They weren't in 2018, clearly. I think that 2018 team was a little bit of smoke and mirrors, and they really should have beaten the Chiefs in that game. Last year, you know, some people calling it a blowout, others, I think it was a little closer than that, but, you know, they wind up losing. Kind of similar to this game, I was talking about it with Yoshi on Twitter. This feels like very similar to that 2019 matchup. They get into this game, and I picked them to win it, man. I thought they were ready. They looked very much like the better team for the first 2 weeks than the Chiefs did, who were going up against some teams that were decidedly, I don't think great and not going to figure to be great, but we do have some people chiming in here on Twitter that the Chargers are a good matchup in that they have good edge rushers, which help to neutralize some of what the Chiefs do on offense, which worked out pretty well. It kind of feels like the Ravens really don't have that juice right now, and some people saying Jadeveon Clowney, why did they get Calais Campbell? Listen, Calais Campbell had actually a decent game here, and that didn't prove to be enough. And let me tell you something, even if they had Jadeveon Clowney, I don't think they win this game still. So for me, I hate to kind of sound like Mr. Defeatist sitting here, like, what are you even going to do against this team? But it just feels like after watching that, that the Chiefs, when they're on and when they're playing their best, which they didn't through the first 2 weeks, but they certainly did tonight, when they're playing like that, they can beat absolutely anyone in this league. And I'm not being defeatist here because I don't think that's ultimately 100% going to be the case for the rest of the season. Like I was saying on Twitter, it's a long season. Literally anything can happen. And however many weeks from now, the Ravens could be looked at as a favorite or they could be looked at as an underdog and take the Chiefs out in a game that you don't expect them to win. But it just as of right now, tonight, September 28th, it just feels like you're talking about teams or two teams that are on different playing fields. And it's weird to even acknowledge that because I still think the Ravens are the second best team. And I just think the Chiefs, when they're playing at their best, are absolutely better than them, which sucks to admit.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. They're the best team in the NFL. When they're on, they could be any team in the league. They could be any team in NFL history, stacked or not. That matchup is just, it's so, you have a track team full of players that can make the plays. You know, we tease Al Davis, you know, and the jokes of the Raiders being like, as long as they run a 4-2, he's going to draft them. But they drafted 4-2 players that know how to catch, know how to make a play, know how to do what's right and make the right situation. And more than anything, that first or second drive by Reed and the Chiefs, the amount of screens he called, the different screens he called, forcing those pass rushers who for a week at least were going, I'm going to get him, I'm going to beat him, I'm going to bull rush him, I'm going to go through him, I'm going to rip through it, I'm going to tear through it, I'm going to cut through it, I'm going to make plays, I'm going to bulldog, I'm going to do whatever I can to get after Patrick Mahomes. And you know what he does for the first drive? He says, there's anything, come after Mahomes, please, and watch Clyde Edwards
Blair.
I'm going to fucking lose it. I knew you were going to do it, and I was trying to just get through it without you having it. But
Clyde Edwards, Elair.
Because that's what they did. They ran a screen to the left. They ran a screen to the right. They ran a fake screen to the left, fake screen to the right, tight end up the seam. It was brilliant, masterful football, and I'm furious because you got your ass handed to you, and they did it not through some, oh, he got a 50-50 ball and beat you. No, they handily called you out and carved you up, spit you out on your home turf. Fans, no fans, it does not matter. That was in Baltimore. Welcome to primetime football with the Kansas City Chiefs.
Got people chiming in here talking about the offense, and they're talking about bringing in Antonio Brown. Guys, it's not going to happen. Like, let's just relax on that. Antonio Brown is a psychopath. Eric DaCosta wants him to not be a part of this team, and that's probably the good move ultimately, no matter what happens, because the guy just doesn't have his shit together, and he's probably not going to for as long as he remains in whatever weird head state that he's in. Hopefully he can get his stuff together. I'm rooting for him to get his personal life together, but even in as much as the guy has been, you know, relatively quiet and okay for however many months here, he's shown the propensity to do that and then swing back to whatever weird state that he's been in. So let's calm down with the Antonio Brown stuff. Let's calm down with how do we fix the front seven. There's no quick fix, all right? There's no quick fix. They're not going to just sign one guy, or, you know, I probably shouldn't say that because maybe they will get an offensive playmaker or an edge rusher or something that'll help to make this team a little bit better. But there is nothing right now that they can do that is going to make them better than the Chiefs on paper. There's nothing. But, you know, ultimately, what you can do is string some great football together over the course of the next couple months, get yourself in position where maybe you face the Chiefs in the playoffs. Maybe the Chiefs get knocked out in the playoffs. Maybe you just put yourself in position to do what you need to do to win a championship, but it's just, there's no quick fix, unfortunately. I hate to be the bearer of bad news on that, but it's not going to happen overnight. And it feels weird to say that because, again, this is still a very good football team, but people do kind of feel the need to automatically try to fix things after game, which unfortunately it just isn't going to happen.
One of the comments that I saw on there that I do want to approach is if they don't pick up AB, then they don't go in. This team isn't going anywhere. And if you are needing Antonio Brown to be the savior of your season, you never had a chance at all. That's
yeah,
all
it's like, well, let's define anywhere in that situation. Like, what are you talking about? Yeah. Like, they're probably are going to win 10 games at least with this roster team, right now.
You saw what they did to the Browns, which is one of the best offensive lines in football, and they shut down Nick Chubb, Baker Mayfield, and the Browns, who have won, I think, two games in a row now, right? They faced off against the Texans, who were one of the better teams in the NFL and have had the what would likely be called the hardest schedule in football I've seen in at least a decade, of facing off against this super team that is the Kansas City Chiefs, getting buzzsawed by the Baltimore Ravens, who are the second best team in the NFL. And then they have to face off against the Steelers, who fucking apparently Ben Roethlisberger is a 37-year-old plus quarterback that's capable of still making plays. And they're led by a great team. They got a great defense. They got a good coaching staff. So like they're 0-3 because they're getting clobbered by those teams. And it's just, you shouldn't be one AB away from making a play.
No, and they're not. And like, that's just kind of, I totally understand the reaction. Like the offense looked a little bit lifeless at time, particularly in the receiving game. They could maybe use another playmaker there, receiver, but let me just tell you guys, there are probably better options than a dude like Antonio Brown, who is going through multiple, you know, channels of litigation and everything that's going on with his life. Let's just leave that guy to do what he has to do. Maybe trade for a guy, maybe do what you have to do. But I trust that if DaCosta sees a problem, he's going to fix it. I trust that that is the case. Ben Rose, our boy, chiming in. What is the silver lining from this loss, fellas? I don't know if there is one. Like, I don't know if there is a silver lining other than the fact that they did battle back a little bit in the second half. You have to give them the credit. I think particularly the defense I want to give a shout out to, because they were getting carved up in that first half. You mentioned all the trickeration, and I tweeted something about how I kind of hope that they were blowing their load with the trickeration a little bit and they weren't going to be able to hang in there because I thought the defense matched up well. I think that was what I said was true to some degree and not true to some other degree, but you got the forced fumble from Chuck Clark. You got the big stop on fourth and one. The defense, they didn't play great tonight, but they at least had a couple of those moments where they helped to get the offense back into it. Maybe that's your silver lining, but unfortunately there kind of isn't one right now for me. And like, I don't want to, like I said, I don't want to come across as like, you know, Mr. Condescending Analyst, like, oh, you have to feel this way because it's week three, blah, blah, blah. Like, no, get pissed off. Like, be pissed off. It's fine. It's a bad loss. It sucks. It sucks that they didn't really show up against this team in the way that you wanted them to. And it's okay to vent those frustrations and feel badly about this performance. But ultimately, at the end of the day, just remember that it is, in fact, week three. This is not the same team that you're going to be watching in December, good and bad. It's a very long NFL season. Another playoff spot. The home field advantage rules have changed. A lot of stuff has changed, you know, over the course of the offseason, and there's a lot of football left to be played. So, you know, it sucks. Feel free to be mad. And, you know, they got the Washington football team coming up this week. So we're going to see what happens. I lost your audio. Did you mute yourself?
It muted, and then it came unplugged, and then it muted. Sorry about that.
You're good.
All right, but yeah, that was the silver lining I was going to say, is that it's week three. Fortunately, this wasn't a backbreaking loss heading into the playoffs, but rather it was a wake-up call of, hey, remember how this is how far off you are from being the championship contender we believe you are. You are capable of growing. We've seen that with
measuring stick game.
The 2012 Ravens, you know, they got slapped around by the Steelers. And that woke them up and go, oh, shit, we actually have to play every game like we mean it, and we have to figure it out. That you see that with other teams in other sports as well. I know this for sure with the Colorado Avalanche. About 1 or 2 years ago, they got clobbered by the Washington Capitals. I believe it was a 10-1 game or a 9-1 game. It was brutal. And the reporter, I think it was AJ Hefele. I don't know how to pronounce his name. It's full of vowels. But he said they just look shell-shocked. You could see in their faces, they went, this is what a real contender looks like. You know, because they had some buzz. They had some star players. Nathan McKinnon's won, like, been like second in MVP voting a couple times. And they look good. And then you just get clobbered by what's a real deal team. And that's the silver lining, is you get your ass handed to you and you nurse the injuries, and then a couple days later you nurse the wounds and you get back up and you face off against week four.
Yeah, I mean it's a weird spot to be in, and like I see, you know, I'm not totally pessimistic. Like, it's like I mentioned, week three. Like I mentioned, they showed some ability to bounce back against this team, kind of do what they had to do, and if not for a Andrews drop and some other stuff that was going on that was a little bit weird. It felt like they really could have been in this thing. And I don't think I was ever sitting there thinking, oh, they're going to win this now on this comeback, but it felt like they at least showed some heart in that. So that's something to hang on to a little bit. But yeah, just, you know, pretty flat overall performance, not really fun to watch. It just felt like they were chasing the entire time, which is pretty much what it's felt like the entire time that they've played against Mahomes, save for the 2018 performance where they were up on them for however long, and then fucking Tyreek Hill breaks loose against dickhead CJ Mosley, who's covering him for whatever reason, and they win that game by some miracle. It's just like, what annoys me about the Chiefs is that, yes, they get lucky, but they get lucky because they're good. It's the same thing as the Patriots back in the day. The combination of luck and how great they are just kind of forms this perfect remedy that is pretty much impossible to beat. So, yeah, we're going to see what happens. And in this game, they really didn't have to get all that lucky. I think they were just better.
Yep. There's a I can't remember the poker player's name, but there's a quote that says, the better I get, the luckier I seem to get as well. And that's what the Chiefs are. They're absolutely great at this game, and they get luckier because it's fortune favors the bold, and they are emphatically the boldest team in the NFL.
Yeah, and it felt like a lot of guys on the Ravens side had a rough game. I guess we can kind of jump into it now. What did you think about the and I guess this isn't really a performance thing, but what did you think about the coaching staff in particular? I think Greg Roman getting really brought to the woodshed here for his approach to this game.
I'm very frustrated. Everybody on Twitter, every Ravens fan certainly said this felt like a repeat of the Titans game. And I agree with them. You are running the football. You gain 60 yards on the ground on the first drive. You are waking up that Chiefs defense going, hey, we're here to fight. We're here to grind. We're here to push each other around for 60 minutes. Let's do this. And you go with some fun passing plays. You go with a play action wide receiver screen play that doesn't work out, that they sniff out quickly, and then all of a sudden you're kicking the field goal. I have no issues with the field goal. A lot of people seem to do it because it was like a 4th-and-2, 4th-and-4 or something. It might have even been like a 4th-and-6. I did not care about that. Yeah, you're in the red zone. Take the points. You get the points early, and that you have them chasing you. Yeah, it's only 3-0, but if they score a touchdown,
it was a fourth down. It was a 4th-and-3, so that makes it, they're in the red zone. It's a very short field from where they were at, and it was a 4th and a long 3 from what you saw. So I totally agree with you, too. I think just kick the field goal there, whatever. Like, you don't expect that the defense is going to completely shit their pants and you're going to be chasing the rest of the game, which maybe you should have expected that. I don't know. But, like, at the time, I was like, yeah, you know what? Go ahead and take the points, whatever.
Yep, take the points. Get on the board. It's always nice to have a successful drive as your first drive. Doesn't have to be 7 all the time. You know, Ravens fans are accustomed to scoring on those opening drives. So I think that's the spoils of this team biting them is, oh, man, you got to get that touchdown. You got to get that 7-0 lead on. But, no, 3-0, like 3-up is good. No, it's not great against the Chiefs. I understand the frustration of wanting to have 7 over the Chiefs instead of 3, but that's still a part of it. Just score the points. And then the next few drives are a Joe Flacco show. It's the 2 to 3 yard passes downfield. It's the flat route passes. It's the lack of depth. It's the lack of creativity in the run game. Like, you don't have to throw to the flats. You don't have to use this offense like it was in 2014. There's no need for it. Like, Greg Roman knows all of these critical run plays that are being boasted. Why are you not using them? Why is Gus Edwards not on the field? Why is Mark Ingram not grinding with the rock? Why is Lamar Jackson no longer being utilized so heavily in the run game when he rushed for over 1,000 yards and broke the NFL rushing record as a rookie, kind of, because he has just enough start, you know, because he started in the year prior. He broke Michael Vick's record in his second year in the NFL. Like, what happened to running the football? No, I understand you don't want to injure the quarterback, but also Lamar wasn't taking that many hits because he's clever with his elusiveness. It was unnecessary passing because you're fearful of getting behind to the Chiefs, and you being scared of it and trying to chase it before it's happened is what's forcing that to become a thing.
Yeah, I think I tweeted something about like how Lamar, when he is on the field, is 100,000 1,000% the best athlete on the field, no matter what. I don't think that there's 100%. Anyone that compares to him. Just take over a game. Like, drop back to pass, do what you have to do. I think back to the game against Seattle last year where there were some design runs for him, but in that fourth quarter, it felt like he would drop back and then he would just fucking take off and just beat Bobby Wagner or whoever it was to the edge and just pick up whatever first down, do what he had to do to salt that game away. It felt like in this one, he kind of wasn't really doing that. He was just sort of sticking to the script, which the script wasn't good. So maybe go off script a little bit, you know, do what you have to do, scramble around. I tweeted that. Then he scrambled for a long first down. He ran another one. I think they started running it. And then I think that was that one ill-fated field goal drive that we were talking about. But yeah, it's interesting. I feel like maybe if he would do that a little bit more, that would have helped them a little bit. But otherwise, you know, it's kind of tough to really be the, you know, the guy looking back on it and saying you should have done more of X, Y, or Z. But what is the deal with Mark Andrews in some of these games, man? Why does he just completely shrink in certain games? Because I feel like this is one of those ones. And I love Mark Andrews. I think he's a great player, but he just struggles sometimes. And I just cannot explain it.
Yeah, that was excruciating to watch. Just to watch him drop pass after pass and good throws too. Like, yeah, no, Lamar was not successful on some of these throws tonight. He was thrown behind. He was thrown too hard. He was throwing him he was leading him too much. But when Lamar gets him on the money, why aren't you catching them? You are hyped up as this top three tight end. You're hyped up to combat, like, to battle with the likes of Travis Kelce. You're here and being hyped up. You scored the most touchdowns by a tight end last year. You scored double digit tight end, like, touchdowns. And I know he's capable of it. I'm not harping on him because he's a bad player. I'm harping on him because he's a good player and he's expected to play like this in the lights. When the big game's on the line, you want somebody to count on. And I'm surprised that Mark Andrews wasn't the guy tonight, because when Jackson starts panicking, when he starts getting fearful, he goes to his insurance policy, which is the tight end, which is Mark Andrews. And Mark Andrews was not that guy tonight. And I don't understand why in some games, like you mentioned, the Seattle game when we were talking the Slack chat, he just vanishes.
Yeah, and I mean, before we discuss that any further, we do have, I want to talk to JM chiming into the comments here, in all caps, of course. Jesus Christ died for your sins. He is the only way you can get to heaven. Without him, you will go to hell. We are all sinners. Only the blood of Jesus can wash away your sins. As an Irish Catholic person, God bless you, sir, and thank you for your service.
Where is this in the chat? Oh, my goodness.
It's in the comments. Do you see it?
No, it's not pulling up on mine.
It might just be, maybe I only get the spams, but it's kind of sick. Good for him. I like, listen, that puts all this into perspective a little bit. Who cares about a stupid football game? The Chiefs. Patrick Mahomes. Yeah, let me tell you, Patrick Mahomes. Let me tell you about my guy, Jesus Christ. He can walk on water. Can you do that, Patrick Mahomes? I don't think so.
God, after tonight, you might think he does.
You might think so with all the Mahomes simps that are on Twitter. Like, oh, yeah, look how good this guy is. Oh, sick take, bro. Okay, yeah, well, I bet you were saying that before the 2017 draft. No, yeah, nobody was. Nobody fucking was, by the way. Nobody was. No one, except for Chris Sims, by the way. Shout out to my guy, Chris Sims. I'm a big fan of his. He was a big Mahomes guy. He turned me on to him. I was a Mahomes fan before that draft. Nobody else was. And now I hate him, by the way. It's come full circle. I hate the guy. I hate the Chiefs. I hate the stupid simps that go at, you know, try to fawn around him and join in on the Chiefs bandwagon. Like, yeah, go for it. Yeah, that's fun. It's like rooting for fucking Steph Curry in 2018. A lot of fun, I bet. Pisses me off, you know?
Whew. The soapboxes we're getting on tonight is going to be great.
Listen.
Would you rather turn water into wine or turn a possible strip sack into a 40-yard first down backbreaker on 3rd and 14, though? Like,
in this case, maybe just one play from Matthew Judon would have, you know, been
more. Or Tyus Bowser, you know, just inches away.
Not to single anybody out. Sure.
I know it's so hard, and I understand that, like, I at no point will have any of the athleticism or playmaking ability of any of these guys or a bank account like these guys, but you're inches from it, and I understand. It's so hard, but you're the guys. You're on the field for a reason. You can do it. I've seen them capable of doing it. Ugh.
I think that probably is the difference, weirdly, is I like the Chiefs don't lose often, but I think when they lost to the Colts, I think Houston was making some plays for the Colts, weirdly, against the Chiefs, which is pretty sick last year. They lost to the Titans. I didn't watch a ton of that game, but I just feel like the only way to do it is to get in his grill and to finish plays against him. And it's just impossible to do with the way that he's able to.
Joey Bosa, Melvin Ingram, you got to get those guys in there.
Yeah,
you got to get in his face. That, like you said, get in his grill. There's no other way to beat him. It's just like every cliche of beating Tom Brady, of beating Peyton Manning. What's the way to beat these guys? It's not with cornerbacks and safeties. It's not with linebackers. It's with getting four dudes that are bigger and scarier and angrier than them, and you get them in their grill.
Four dudes.
That's how you beat every quarterback in NFL history.
These are my pass rushers, man. I got four dudes coming after you right now. Going to get up in your grill, going to make life tough for you, get that race car package going, and we're going to
wreck shit. Just, you wreak havoc, you know? That's it. That's it. But it's really fucking hard to find four of those guys or to suck bad enough to draft four of them and then all pan out.
What a terrible game this was to watch.
Ugh.
Awful. I mean, like, what are you gonna do, you know?
All right, well, are you ready for my favorite part of the night?
Well, I probably know where you're going with this, but yes, and I'm excited to participate.
All right, strap in, fuckers. This is a soapbox moment brought to you by Special Teams Barber. Last week, Tony fucking Romo said,
"Oh, Jim, I don't know, Butker.
Harrison Butker was the best kicker in the NFL, or was it greatest kicker? I don't care, because I saw red and I heard my blood pumping in my body. I was so angry.
Where was it pumping to?
Can't believe it. To my raged tiny biceps. I don't know.
Oh, okay. I didn't know where you're going with that, but okay.
I'm angry. I couldn't believe it, and I knew it because Harrison Butker struggles against the Ravens. Fun fact, he's already missed a PAT against the Ravens. He's already missed two field goals against the Ravens. I went, you know what? I bet he misses one of those tonight. What does he do, folks? What does he do? He doesn't just miss the PAT. He doesn't just miss the PAT to give it the Ravens only a 6-3 deficit. He misses a field goal. You know what else he does? He kicks it short, trying to be fun and cute on special teams on the kickoff, and allows a fucking 93-yard kick return touchdown, the first in the NFL in 2020.
Are we blaming that on him?
How dare anybody think that Harrison Butker is the best kicker or should be in the same breath as Justin Tucker? Justin Tucker is by far the best kicker in the NFL. He's the best ever in the NFL. And if Harrison Butker's short sample size didn't save his ass from being in the 90% column, he wouldn't be near Justin Tucker. And he missed it again tonight. He might even drop out of the 90% club. And it's a joke that people compare anybody with Justin Tucker. It's like comparing Lamar and Patrick Mahomes in the passing skills. Patrick Mahomes is insane. He's otherworldly. And Lamar Jackson's passing ability is clearly not on the level, even though they're both MVPs. They're both great kickers. They're both great quarterbacks. But they're not comparable because one of them is clearly far better than the other. Go read my articles on kicking, for God's sake. What did you think of it?
Well, I just wanted to make sure everything was cleared out of the system and we can move forward here.
Justin Tucker's the GOAT.
I agree. Listen, I agree. I 100% agree. But it's just one of those things. Like, nobody's ever going to fully really care about kicking on a national scale where, like, it's like I mentioned last week, like, people are going to just offhandedly be like, oh, Butker, best kicker in the league. Nobody's ever going to, like, reach across the aisle and be like, no, don't say that. Justin Tucker, still the best. I just feel like that's never going to happen. And it's like, we don't need to have this insecurity where it's like, we gotta, you know, rehash all these stats and everything. And by the way, I love it when you do it because you're probably the preeminent expert on all of it. But yeah, Tucker's better, you know. Butker fucking stinks, by the way. Like, I can just throw that out there. Like, he stinks. The guy, he misses more kicks in, like, national spots than I've seen. Like, he missed a kick, by the way, in the 2018 game against the Ravens. They could have won that. It went to overtime because he missed a fucking kick. And then he missed these. Yep. He missed the extra point. He missed the kick tonight. Butker stinks. I'm throwing it out there. Harrison Butker. you stink.
Yeah.
You play for the best team in the league, you're probably going to win the Super Bowl again, and I'm going to fucking hate you and your team and your stupid fucking quarterback with his army of simps. I am going to hate you all. Justin Tucker's still better than you. Throwing it out there.
6 for 7, extra points. 4 for 6.
Oh, J.E. Wong chiming in. It's not even an insecurity for me. LMFAO. I just find it funny. I just find it funny. I'm not even mad. I'm just laughing. I'm actually just laughing right now.
This is great. This is that high quality content that you guys subscribe for. Speaking of, congratulations to Jake and Spenny on 200 YouTube subscribers. Mm. So, real quick plug for the boys. If you haven't, please do go subscribe to Baltimore Beatdown's YouTube page. It is for the podcast. It's for streaming the pod. Jake's been putting some content on there. They work through some stuff. Support the boys. This is for Jake. This is for Spenny. Definitely go and subscribe. If you're listening, just hop on your phone. Go to the YouTube app. Type in Baltimore Beatdown. Hit that subscribe button. Support the boys, folks.
What a guy, man. I appreciate that.
Appreciate you guys. I appreciate being able to hop on here.
Like, listen, it's a therapy session tonight. I mean, listen to this.
Yeah, it really is. I'm feeling so much better. Feeling a little bit better. Because I get to yell at the microphone, and like I'm in my office, and so it doesn't feel like I'm yelling out to a void so much as I know that there's some people listening. I know more people are going to listen and download it, and it makes me feel a little bit better knowing that some other people enjoy my frustration, enjoy my rants, but also agree with my rants. So I'm not just some estranged sports writer writing manifestos on my blog.
Look at Ben Rose. Love you guys on the show. We love you too, bud. You're in these comment sections every single week, and you were the best.
Ben Rose, Anthony Jones, Jay Wong, 47.
It's just a mob. We're just mobbing out here.
It's just the boys. It's just the boys.
The boys, just mobbing.
Guys,
the boys
being are dudes. What's the U Canes, shout out. Let's go. Let's go with the U.
Yeah, we're sitting here just shooting our bad takes out, and the bad take police may come and arrest us, as you know, my boy Robert De Niro here in the background is getting arrested, but doesn't matter.
My take was Justin Tucker being a better kicker than Harrison Butker.
That's not a bad take, though. That's a tremendous take.
What's next on your list of glorious things to talk about in a game that sucked?
Yeah, they're
da-na-na, da-na-na.
God. Good, like good. I think Monday Night Football broadcast is much better than previous years.
I don't know. It was all right, you know. There goes E-Lair again.
Listen, you a big Steve Levy guy?
E-Lair. No, not after tonight.
Listen,
not after tonight. I like him saying that Gus Edwards was getting all the carries when like four times it was Mark Ingram or anybody else.
Give me some filibuster here. I'm going to see if I can pull something up. What did you think about the defense? Like the way that you know, they kind of struggled there and then they bounced back a little bit. What did you think about the D tonight? You're muted again.
So it's because my mic keeps getting unplugged because probably I'm moving too much and I don't have this sweet stand-up mic that you get a boast. Okay, I'm getting mixed signals here. All right, but
you're good. No, I hear you.
Matt Judon shouldn't be covering wide receivers. Matt Judon should be trying to pass the rusher, rush the passer. Words are getting hard over here.
Pass the rusher.
Marcus Peters had a game that we love him for gambling. And he makes so many great plays when he gambles, but this time he got the brunt of it by trying to get
it. Now the agent for.
Sorry, continue.
No, you're good. And I think that was a big part of the problem is Marcus Peters got served up today.
He did. He had a tough game, didn't he?
And that happens, man. And you're a cornerback against one of the best passing offenses ever. Yeah, you're going to get brunt. You're going to get beat up a bit. Let's see here. Patrick Queen got benched at one point, and they had
a mega tough scene there for Patrick. They were talking some of the guys he was getting benched for were getting detonated. Yeah, it was a tough night for the defense.
Yeah, he got benched. They had Chris Board and LJ Ford out there at times. Where the fuck is the pass rush that this team is supposed to be boasting? Derek Wolfe. where the fuck are you in the pass rush? Matt Judon, where are you? Calais Campbell, where are you? Why are any of these guys ever not doing anything else? Why are they doing anything else but rushing the passer? Matt Judon has been dropping into coverage the most of anybody last I saw from Spencer's stats and stuff. So it's just aggravating. What do you got here?
Hurst has come out and said he will file a grievance against the Patriots that, according to NFL rules, the club should not have been able to release his client because he was injured. The agent claims that at the request of the team, Hurst has been plunging disc in his neck since the start of the season. The Patriots spokesperson declined comment on the matter. Others that are banged up from around the NFL. Jeff Hollister re-injured his left shoulder on this hit by Chad Hennings late in the first half of the Cowboys-Raiders games. Status to be addressed on Wednesday. Giants quarterback Dave Brown left in the fourth quarter after having the wind knocked out of him in the game against the Eagles. As far as the Lions quarterback is concerned, Scott Mitchell sprained right ankle when Jim Flanagan rolled into him. Status is day-to-day. Eagles quarterback Rodney Peterson suffered a bruised hip flexor in the first half of Sunday's Eagles-Giants game. Did not return. He's expected to be back Sunday against the Redskins. Mike Mamula, his teammate, suffered a dislocated left shoulder. He's expected to miss two.
All right, that was fun.
That was great. There's I sent you the link in case you wanted to play this one too. But there's Mark Rycroft and Kyle Keefe and Peter McNabb. And they're talking about the Colorado Avalanche. These are the casters for Altitude for Colorado sports. And
this is Altitude and up in the.
He's like, all right, and now we're gonna move to Penis McNabb,
sheesh.
Not Peter Penis. And they lose it. Rycroft and Kyle Keefe for the rest of the broadcast. They're just passing it off to the other because they can't handle it. They can't get through a sentence. And they're like, come on, Kyle, you got to keep talking. And
that one goes on for like another minute. He's like talking. He's like, there's nothing wrong with these injuries right now. I'm just having some trouble. It's pretty good. Great. Shout out to Steve Levy. Great guy.
Yeah. Jesus. E-layer. Do you E-layer. Know the E-claire jokes I saw? Way too many. Dan Kadar had the first. Shout out Dan Kadar. He's brilliant. Mocking the draft. Mocking by Kadar, whatever it is now. But yeah, he's brilliant, and his was the only funny one on there. Everybody after there was trying way too hard. So there's that.
Clyde Edwards Ealer. I don't like it. Listen,
that
I don't like it.
Content you guys listen for.
You do. I was playing against him in fantasy, by the way, tonight. I had like a 20-point lead on him. Was getting a little afraid that the kid was going to get double boned with a Ravens loss and an E-layer comeback 20 points. That would have been pretty bad. Thankfully, it didn't happen.
It didn't? Oh, good for you. I don't play fantasy anymore. Can't stand it.
I play real life. I play real life. I play fantasy football. What are you nerds? I got a life that I focus on.
No, because I was playing with I played with a bunch of college buddies, and once I got in, like working in the NFL a bit more, and like started getting media credentials and stuff.
Oh yeah, man, it's just like kind of my job now. I can't really focus on this.
And so it'd be if I lost the game, it'd be like, wow, look at this NFL insider and all his access, and he can't even win in a fantasy game. And when I won, it was. Oh, of course he won. He's got all these insider content, and he knows what's going to happen. He's got all this. He's obviously going to win because he's working in the NFL, so he knows way more than us. So it got to a point where it was no fun, and I just get mocked, and like maybe it's being soft-skinned of me, but I was like, this isn't worth my time because if I'm going to play fantasy, you know, you take it pretty seriously. You read the articles. You check the numbers. You look for best ideas on how to win fantasy and win some money and stuff. I was like, I'm spending way too much time trying to win some money and taking way too much bullshit from it. If I wanted to do that, I'd pick up another bartending shift. It's not worth it.
Arbreezy23, offensive coordinator is straight up trash. You're straight up trash. What do you think about that? Arbreezy23.
Boom. Subscribe to the podcast.
Why are you coming in here with that shit? Cut this dude's vibe.
Boom. Cut this dude's vibe.
We're going to Ben Rose out in San Bernardino. Shout out to our boy, Nick Boyle, for the only offensive TD of the game, though. Nice. Pretty great. Team Toke, shout out. Going to Kyle out in Encinitas. Kyle, what's up? Taking a fax now.
This is Bradley in Canterbury, South Carolina.
Has on a beat. CeeDee Lamb. when he was dropping, I was like, now is the time to go get him. But nope. I have CeeDee Lamb on my... I started him this week, actually. He did okay for me.
Remember when we didn't... By we, I mean, do you remember when the Ravens didn't draft Michael Gallup and I didn't get to land a CSU wide receiver interview because I'm at CSU? That sucked.
I do remember Logan that. Yeah, Logan was mind. Logan was all over Michael Gallup, actually, from what I recall.
And now he's balling.
Yeah, he's pretty good. Yeah, okay. So we've hit on, I guess, defense and coaching. Offense, anything to say? Did they just shrink in the big moment, Jim? What do you think?
Lamar Jackson.
Ben Rose, that was a Jim. Ben Rose, that was a Jim Rome impression. Just throwing it out there. Nice. Got Ben Rose out here in Corona, California. Hashtag Team Toke, surfing the swells. Gonna take a fax now. Cut this dude's Vaughn. Griffin Dank. Duvernay should get more snaps than Sneed. Griffin Dank. Last name's Dank. No, he's Team Toke. Gotta love it. Kyle, throwing it out to you. Taking a fax from Kyle P. Barber. Who knows what the P stands for? You tell me.
Rose. That was brilliant. That was fuego, my friend.
I'm at my best in moments of complete just utter disarray. Just disarray. Yeah,
I respect it. Can we vent about the refs? Yes. Like, yeah, he just said already. Absolutely no holding calls against the Chiefs. There's some blatant holds. The joke that is the Nick Boyle penalty. People are saying like he tripped him. No, he went for a cut block, got it a little bit too low. Player tried to still get over him quickly, trying to beat the rush, trying to get through before the running back comes through, and he trips on him. Nick Boyle didn't trip him. He didn't wrap his legs up. Like, you know how easy it is to catch a purposeful trip? It's so easy to read when somebody sticks their leg out, when somebody holds it up. He didn't scorpion his legs back. He ate shit missing a block, combined to getting a block. You know, Nick Boyle's pretty good about, like, getting to it. But that was not a real block, like a tripping call. And for them to call that was a joke. They called Patrick Queen for a horse collar when he didn't grab the nameplate. It was under it. It was on the jersey. Like,
it was on the jersey. Taking a call. Gonna take a fax now.
Am I sounding like this?
Is
this
I what think this is? You might be falling into a little bit of the mannerisms. A rhythm.
All right.
Nice. Got Brad in Corona leading us off in the smack off tonight. Talking smack, Kansas City Chiefs fans acting like absolute punks. You guys already won the Super Bowl. Take your BS elsewhere. Can't curse. Network radio for CBS Sports. Love to be here. New show. Basically the same thing as my old show on ESPN. Doesn't matter though. Let's make it happen. Smack off 2020.
Whew. The UKans with love drafting backups instead of wide receivers. Furious that there is a player drafted in the second round by the name of J.K. Dobbins. Not because he's a bad player, but because the Baltimore Ravens hyped up this man as this wonderful, can't believe he's still there pick. Can't believe, still there. Great pick. Great execution.
Incredible value. Can't even draft. Talk about it. Top like when I get my kale draft. Smoothies way over better. At the H Mart. Incredible can't value. He's still there.
Had to take him. Incredible value. What is he doing? Not getting fucking carries. That's for sure. Where the hell is the run game? Where the hell is J.K. Dobbins sprinting down the seam? Where is he bursting to the outside, getting a 60-yard gain? Sure as fuck not on the field against the Chiefs or anybody else.
I get it tonight.
J.K. Dobbins sightings tweets from like the Baltimore Sun reporters from us, you know, covering the game. It's there's a J.K. Dobbins sighting. You shouldn't have that with a guy that you heralded as this fantastic back to add to an already talented group.
I get it tonight. I 100% get it tonight. Have your fun if you're one of those people that was not a fan of this draft. There are a few. I know our buddy Voss was not huge on some of the strategies that they had. I get it tonight. Go ahead and take your shots. It's 100% warranted in this game because it didn't work against the Chiefs right now. We shall see, though. And I think it has proved to have been a good strategy so far with the other two games. I think, you know, Patrick Queen proven to be a very good pick. Malik Harrison proven to be a good pick. J.K. Dobbins proven to be a good tick. Proven to be a good pick.
Bulging pick. Big tick. Bulging. Got it. Picked in the second round. Listen, 2020. We're NFL all day draft. Today. Draft. Beer. Beer. Tasty. No girlfriends. This is the pod. Jake Luke.
Listen, Saturdays, what are they for? The boys. But no, so we had, you know, a couple good picks, though. I mean, you got Patrick Queen, Malik Harrison, middle linebacker. Matt Ebuka hasn't done much. I get that. J.K. Dobbins has done some things. Got to give him some credit. Devin Duvernay with a big play tonight. Kick return, running through the special teams unit, making them look absolutely silly.
I don't know if I'm supposed to mute my mic from laughing.
You might as well call him Aver Duvernay because he made that an absolute movie. He's looked good. I mean, Prochet getting involved on punt returns. This is a good draft class. We don't have to take pot shots at those guys tonight. I think the team just
I'm taking pot shots at a second round draft pick of a running back. When what do you need? Certainly not a running back in this offense. You know what you need? To run Gus Edwards the fucking football, and you throw it with somebody that's not just one tight end and one wide receiver. You need more than one wide receiver. Willie Snead, good, not great. Miles Boykin, good, not great. Hollywood Brown, clearly not showing that he's a number one wide receiver so far because he has shrunk to 2'4" over the last few games. Yeah, he had 100 yards in the first game. Why is he not blowing up? Why is he not capable of burning pass players the way that we see Tyreek Hill doing? And I get that there's a difference in those offenses, but there's not much of a difference in those players because Hollywood Brown is just as fast as him, and Lamar Jackson is capable of throwing deep balls. Why is that not being schemed up? Why aren't they unloading the playbook like we just saw the Chiefs do against the Ravens?
I'm with you in the sense that that should be the case in a game like this. You got to step up a little bit, but not giving up on them ultimately. I think Hollywood Brown could still prove himself to be a number one receiver. I think those other guys are very good players in their own right as well. Just an awful fucking night. Awful night for the offense, for the defense, for the coaching staff. Do as Tony Sperano would say and bury the bull, forget the game, and move on.
Yep. That's where it's going. Like I said, long season ahead of us. This is only week three, not a quarter of the way in. So enjoy the two wins and cherish the pain of a loss because it allows you to enjoy the wins a bit more. It allows when the Ravens bully the Dolphins year after year to be that much more enjoyable when you get stomped by somebody like this. Because this is what it feels like to be on the receiving end. I mean, how many times did we see Lamar just trounce teams last year? Like the Rams in primetime, the game was over just like this by halftime. And it was just making a mockery of them. This is what it feels like to be on the receiving end of an ass blasting.
You threw that, I guess you would call it a verb, into the Twitter sphere, and I was quite amused by it.
Yeah. I unleashed a little bit. I try to be pretty withheld in my words and in my professionalism.
Breeze 23, that. Y'all ain't doing shit with those trash receivers. Lamar is gonna have to. How about you get out of here? What are you doing here? Go to bed. It's late. Breeze 23.
You know what's worse than sore losers? Sore fucking winners.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
Come on, Breeze, get out of here. We don't want your negativity. Continue.
Weak. What was I even on? Which soapbox was I on? Oh, yeah. Losing sucks. Losing like this really sucks. But winning's going to be great. And Washington just might get stomped. And then we'll be able to talk about all the good things.
Listen, that's a good defensive front they got there.
Going to be pretty good. Just going to tell what a coin injury, maybe. Going to help us out in the long run.
James White inexplicably tuning into the show. They can beat good teams and win in primetime, but they can't beat good teams in primetime yet. Good summation of it, James White. I'm not sure why you're not studying for the next Patriots opponent. But yeah, okay.
Some good points. Some good points made there.
But you understand that he is a Patriots running back listening to this podcast for some reason. Comment.
That's totally what's going on. Yep. You are very astute. Make sure to like the stream, by the way, team. Make sure to hype us up.
Okay. All right. I mean, you know, 53 minutes in, what else do we got to say here? Ben Rose, Chiefs fans, division rivals, and the media are going to shove bamboo under our fingernails under our fingernails all week for this loss. Yeah, they are. They certainly are. But yeah. Just to recall the fact that if they had won this game, it would have been like, oh, yeah, you know, that was their Super Bowl. It doesn't really matter. So it's all about perspective. Don't let the whole national narrative kind of fuck with you too much, because Chiefs fans, yeah. The whole thing with them is like, if, like I mentioned, if the Ravens had won this, it'd be like, oh, yeah, it's their Super Bowl. It doesn't really matter to the Chiefs. Now they're going to go on and push their whole narrative about how Lamar can't win the big game, can't pass, you know, whatever. None of that stuff really matters. So, you know, just don't let it bother you too much.
Yeah. Lamar's 21-1 in games not featuring the Kansas City Chiefs as their opponent.
It's kind of sick.
That's it's quite a way to start your NFL career.
Yeah.
It's just shattering a bunch of NFL records, being the second ever unanimously voted MVP. Just an absolute machine, an athlete on the field. And it's okay that you lose a game or two. Like, the expectations for the team are so high that when they falter, they are looked at as complete failures, when in fact, we could be the Jets right now. We could be Jets fans. We could be Browns fans. We could be Bengals fans. We could be rooting for teams that Bears, you know what? I'd say Bears, but they're 3-0 and the Ravens are only 2-1. So, yikes.
Listen, it doesn't even have to be like that. It doesn't have to be like, oh, they're not terrible. Like, this is one of the best fucking teams in the league, and they are capable of winning the Super Bowl. I still believe that coming out of this game. Maybe I'm wrong.
Yes.
But they're capable of doing it. It could happen, just like going into a game in Denver where it's like, oh, this team is just going to dump down their throats and send them packing, and they come out with a win. Anything can happen. It's week three. Let's yep. all just get our collective S together. And, you know, just not try to focus on the bulging dick that is Lamar's record against the Chiefs.
Real quick, Aver had a good game. He yeah, didn't get yeah. picked on. That was kind of nice. I saw that from Daniel Oyafusi, and good for them. But, yeah, I'm just I'm good if you are, boss.
I certainly am. I certainly am. Yeah, I guess that's all we got as far as comments as well. Really, really great participation by everyone tonight. Even you are, Breezy. You're getting a little negative on me there, but I do appreciate you tuning in with us. Kyle, thanks for hopping on last minute, bud. This was a lot of fun. Very therapeutic.
Yeah, incredibly therapeutic. Thank you for having me on. Always love being on the show. Love listening to the show. And this is my time where I hype you guys up. So if you are listening via YouTube, via podcasts, apps, please make sure to subscribe, share it with your friends, grab your friend's iPhone, you know, go to the App Store, subscribe them to the Baltimore Beatdown podcast, because you want to know why? I'm gonna give you the secret. Just downloading those episodes helps pay the bills for Jake and Spencer. They get some money out of this, and they are hardworking in this content. I'd love to support them, and I want you guys to do that. So just download some episodes. Grab your friend's phone, download and subscribe to the Baltimore Beatdown podcast. All right, folks, definitely do that. Follow them on social media. Jake's going to hit you with those social media names. And sounds like we'll get out of here.
You can follow me personally at Jake Luke. That is L-O-U-Q-U-E for some reason, how you spell my last name. You can follow Spencer at Ravens4Dummies. Not able to come on tonight, but we will get him on a midweek pod for a little film analysis. You can follow Kyle at BB_KylePBarber. Follow the show account at Podcast Beatdown, where we tweet out, you know, a little show promotion, a little meme stuff here and there, and follow the main site account at Be More Beatdown. Really appreciate you guys tuning in what is, you know, decidedly not a very fun time to record after a tough loss like that. But listen, we're here for you. We appreciate all your interaction. Eric chimed in. Great show, fellas. Thank you, buddy. We really appreciate you. And everybody else, let's try and, you know, pick the pieces up, move forward, have yourselves a good week. And you got the fucking Washington football team this coming week. So it's not all that bad. Who knows? But yeah, appreciate it. And everybody have yourselves a great night.
Peace.
All right, thanks a lot. Appreciate you guys. See you later.
All right, God bless. Hell yeah.